Your only sibling, Colin grunted. Alive, that is. For a moment, his brother's gaze glittered with that wild promise of madness.
That's still debatable, Graham stated then, as enigmatic as always.
That was Graham, always playing games.
Gideon.
He used the one name guaranteed to piss his brother off, and he didn't even want to know why he was so determined to arouse the insanity his brother possessed.
That's not my name, remember? It's Graham. You should remember that, Judd.
There was an edge of warning to his voice now. Colin had grown tired of the warnings when they were no more than teenagers, confined in hidden cells beneath dirt, cement, and steel, and experimented on daily.
Get out of my office and leave me the hell alone, he ordered,
trying to turn his attention back to the files he should be going over. His concentration was shot since the night he'd pulled Chelsea out of the Cervez Desert compound. He kept expecting to hear from her, or to see her walk through his office door, a wry smile on her lips asking for her position back. And he'd give it to her. He'd frown, berate her a bit, but he'd make certain she was reinstated, and perhaps begin working her into some less dangerous assignments. If she'd just walk through that damned door. Gideon, Graham, whatever the hell he was calling himself this week, walked to the chair in front of Cullen's desk, and sat down casually, as though he had every right to be there. Except that was where Chelsea was supposed to be sitting, and Cullen wasn't in the mood to deal with Graham's dramatics.
You have that irritated look on your face, but the scent of rage is like wildfire.
Gideon tilted his head to the side, a thoughtful look on his face.
What's going on, Cullen? I haven't seen you for weeks. I could use some help in the labs.
Use some help in the labs? That Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality of his held an instinct for breed genetics and an intelligence that could be damned scary. Graham watched him in silence, his hands resting calmly on the arms of the chair, his savage features far too perceptive. Genetics wasn't the only instinct his brother possessed. Graham could get into a person's head with frightening ease. And once he did, he'd turn order into chaos.
Go home,
Cullen ordered, feeling as disagreeable and put out as he knew he looked.
Torment Cat!
Damn it. He was getting tired of waiting for Chelsea to come back, and he was getting real damned tired of everyone he met talking about everything and anything but her. As though she had never worked in these offices, never made herself a part of their lives. Even the agents never spoke of her, as though waiting for him to ask if they'd seen her, talked to her. The only one he gave that satisfaction was his second in command, Ranger. They'd been friends since Cullen had been brought to the Navajo Nation.
Cat is actually the reason I'm here.
Gideon smiled then. It wasn't a comforting look.
She asked me to come check on you. It seems few people have seen you except your agents. When asked about you, they get this wary look on their faces, as though to speak is to court the wrath of demons.
Gideon gave him a brooding look.
You're encroaching on my territory. Only I'm allowed to produce such reactions. Not a recessed little snot such as yourself.
A recessed little snot? One of these days he was going to kill Graham. It was coming. Cullen could feel it.
Go home. Spend some time with your woman. Give her my condolences for when I kill your sorry ass. I'll send your hide back to her for the memories.
Cullen promised, his fists clenching, hands aching with the effort to hold his fists back. He'd been after a good fistfight for weeks, and no one seemed willing to give him one. Gideon would give him a fight, though, surely. His brother watched him suspiciously for a moment, before grinning.
Oh, Colin, brother,
he chuckled, his tone berating.
You've surely not lost your senses to the point that you'd actually believe you can direct all that aggression toward me, have you?
Colin came up from his chair. Enough of this bullshit.
Get out of my office, he snarled, or I'll not just get aggressive, Graham.
He sneered the name.
I'll make damn sure you don't make the same mistake again.
Graham stared at his brother and almost snickered. Cullen, or Judd as he'd once been known, was so ready to fight, he'd forgotten who he was dealing with. Not that Graham would actually go primal during a fist fight with his brother, but Cullen wasn't aware of that. Graham would never let him in on that little secret. Until Cullen released the animal prowling inside him, desperate to be free, then Graham had to play nice. His own animal demanded it. No claws unless claws were bared, or so his mate made him promise. He couldn't think of any way to break that promise without pissing her off. Or actually hurting Cullen. Graham didn't want to do either. He actually felt sorry for his brother. Almost. He looked around the office as though backing down to Cullen's demand. His brother was a man, not a kid, he reminded himself. Not a teenager who needed to be watched over, or a young man grieving the loss of a wife. A wife, not a mate, Graham reminded himself. Cullen hadn't lost his mate, but if he didn't get his head out of his ass fairly fast, then he just might end up doing that now. Cullen sat down slowly.
Don't you ever listen?
He growled, pushing his fingers through the overly long dark hair that was already fading to the more natural dark brown and blonde strands.
Listen to who?
Graham smirked.
You? Why would I do that? You never say anything I actually agree with.
Cullen doubted anyone said anything his brother agreed with. Running his hand along the back of his neck, he tried to tell himself that fighting with Graham never accomplished anything. Even as children, Graham had inevitably won their disagreements.
Tell me why you're here, or get out,
Cullen breathed out roughly. The last thing he wanted to deal with was another of his brother's little games. Graham's disagreeable grunt only irritated Cullen further.
As I said, Kat's worried and asked me to check up on you,
Graham stated then, a small frown appearing between his brows for no more than a second, as though he was not exactly certain why Kat's request mattered. Everything about Kat mattered, though. From the moment Graham had stared into the face of the 4-day-old infant Kat had been when they were no more than 11, nothing had mattered to Graham but Kat. Her existence was everything. It had driven the far too intelligent, too animalistic Graham to actually find enough sanity to survive. Though Cullen doubted the meaning of survival some days when it came to Graham's life, in the years before he'd returned to find the woman he'd given up when she was no more than 12 years old. Survival these days was looking pretty good for the too-calculating, beyond-genius-level Bengal breed Cullen knew as his brother.
She shouldn't worry. Is that all you wanted?
He gritted out when Graham said nothing more. Settling back more comfortably in Chelsea's chair, his twin let a small, amused smile curl his lips.
Well, Kat did want to have friends over for dinner, and she does consider you a friend,
he grunted, as though he couldn't figure out why.
I came to extend the invitation. Be there tonight, around 7.
With that order in place, Graham rose from the chair as though preparing to leave. So certain Cullen would just follow his orders that he didn't even pretend to ask a damned thing.
I'm busy.
7 this evening, his ass.
You should have tried a little advance notice.
Graham's eyes narrowed, his powerful body easing back into the chair.
That would have only given you an advanced warning and allowed you to simply not show up, with only the flimsiest of reasons,
Graham pointed out logically.
I checked your schedule. You have nothing planned for this evening other than returning home as you usually do after leaving the office.
Mockery filled his expression again.
That is, if you leave the office. Tonight you can show up for a decent meal and a little social chit-chat.
The last was a primal growl.
If I have to do it, so can you.
For a moment, Colin stared at his brother in amazement.
Since when do you indulge in social chit-chat?
He asked, wondering if the guests had any clue about the monster they were actually chatting with, if such a thing happened. Graham's expression became a glare.
I am no longer a monster, brother,
he informed him.
Cat has tamed the beast.
And he actually sounded proud of that, Cullen noticed.
That's all well and good for you. I'm excessively proud,
Cullen sneered.
But like I said, I'm fucking busy.
If anything, Graham's glare darkened.
If you aren't there and on time, I will find you before the night's out and make you wish you were there.
The green of his eyes darkened, nearly overtaking the pupil, before Graham pulled back the monster he claimed was tame.
This is for Cat. I will not have her hurt because you didn't show up. Are we understood?
Strong canines flashed in Graham's savage smile as he came slowly to his feet, his gaze never leaving Cullen's. It was almost amusing. The creature Graham had become during those years of unbridled fury was so much a part of his twin that there was no hiding it. The fact that it was indeed under control now amazed Cullen.
Forget it. I'm busy,
Cullen reminded him, really not fazed by the beast. Graham wasn't dangerous yet, just a little put out. Graham's nostrils flared in displeasure.
Very well.
He gave in so easily that Cullen's gaze narrowed on him.
I'll inform Kat so she can take your name off the invitation list. She can find another damned dinner partner for her friend, Chelsea Martinez. Miss Martinez will probably thank her for it.
Cullen froze for a single heartbeat, a flash of something akin to horror racing through his mind. People, breeds and humans alike, who associated with Graham, usually ended up in harm's way. Many had been known to die. He came slowly from his seat in the next heartbeat.
What the hell are you up to?
Rage began licking the edges of his control, fraying it with a flame that threatened to engulf him.
And don't bother lying to me. I know you too damned well.
Graham tipped his head to the side at a curiously thoughtful angle.
I believe I'll offer her the position of Cat's assistant. I know her. Her training.
His lips tilted into a smug grin.
And her trainer. I'm rather leaning her way. There are just a few things to consider first. I had hoped to get to know her better by inviting her to Cat's little dinner party.
Cullen had trained her for the most part. For 4 years, he'd invested more hours than he cared to calculate in her training. And he knew she was good. Good enough to steal coyote prey from beneath their noses and get her to safety. But that was far different from working for Graham.
No, he snapped, furious. What the hell do you think you're doing, even considering putting her in the line of fire? She'll have a price on her head within a week if she goes to work for you or Cat.
Graham's brow arched. That superior, arrogant calculation that was so much a part of his brother was readily apparent now.
I'm considering her because no one would expect her to be the fighter she truly is. And the fact that she managed to work for you for 4 years means she has plenty of patience,
Graham countered softly, with no small amount of menace.
She'd be a good fit for the position. And her training means she'd be prepared should anything happen. I like to be prepared.
He liked to be prepared? Graham was never prepared. He flew by the seat of his pants, his arrogance refusing to accept that he could lose. There was no preparation, only bloodshed.
Chelsea is not bulletproof.
Cullen came around the desk before he considered the move. Nearly nose to nose with the creature, even the hardest soldiers, the most fanatical killers, flinched in the face of.
You know hiring her is out of the question.
Graham actually had the temerity to laugh.
Being a friend of yours does not automatically disqualify someone from working with me. On the contrary, her training is excellent. She belongs here. Keep your damned nose out of it, and she'll be back,
he argued, furious. His brother only laughed.
After a month? Is that what you really believe, brother?
The grin that curled his lips was more a smirk. It was going to be a bloody smirk soon.
You will not hire her.
Cullen's tone lowered to a deliberate, roughened warning that would have had every man under his command paling if they had been in the room. Graham merely stared back at him without so much as a blink.
Or what?
His twin asked knowingly.
How will you enforce that order? When you're strong enough to survive the animal I hold back, then you can make such demands. Just because you wish it doesn't mean she'll return. And just because she's a woman isn't reason enough to refuse her a job she's perfectly qualified for.
He flashed a deadly smile.
Or did you forget? A woman will kill an enemy faster than any male simply because it's unexpected. Besides, Cat likes her.
Cullen's fury was completely ignored. He could feel it. The knowledge of it was pumping through his bloodstream, burning at his mind. The rage that enveloped him consumed him. Uncaring of the strength of the monster he'd set loose by enraging his brother, Cullen's fist flew out and connected with Graham's face. And to both their amazement, the blow threw the breed back with a force that put him on his ass. For about a heartbeat. With an agile flip, Graham was back on his feet, crouching, waiting, as a chuckle slipped past the amused smile on his face, and he slowly straightened. His smirk was now tinged with blood, not that the sight of it satisfied Cullen in the least.
That was rather surprising,
Graham stated, one broad hand lifting to work his jaw as he stared back at Cullen, eyes narrowing, his expression flashing with a hint of calculating knowledge.
You're still invited to dinner, though I suspect Cat will have words with you for the bruise that will no doubt mar my handsome profile.
Egotistical, snide, arrogant bastard.
Go to hell, you mangy black-hearted fucker. I told you I'm busy,
Cullen muttered, turning his back on his brother as he pushed his fingers through his hair and fought the need to push Graham into a full-fledged fight. Not that Cullen thought he'd survive, but at least he could expend the fury raging through him.
I'll be sure to inform Kat that she needs to find another male to fill your seat next to Ms. Martinez.
Graham only laughed at the rage. Moving behind his desk once again, Cullen stared back at his brother. Jaw clenched, fighting back the need to tear something, anything, apart.
Why?
He bit out furiously.
Why stick your nose in this?
If I wanted her in the line of fire, I'd have given her operational status here. You know that. He hadn't even been able to make that offer to her after pulling her out of the desert, fully cognizant of the fact that if she hadn't been fully trained, she would have never survived that. Surprisingly, Graham nodded, his expression losing its amusement, though the calculation burned fierce and bright in his green eyes.
You don't have that right, Cullen. That's why,
his brother stated softly.
She's intuitive, smart, and willing to train to be the best operative you could possibly have at this place. Instead, you turned her into a glorified personal assistant.
He shook his head as though amazed.
Though working for me can't possibly be more dangerous than the job she's taken chasing down rumors of breeds and council misfits.
His head tilted thoughtfully.
I believe she was nearly knifed in her latest skirmish. I'd have never allowed such a thing, of course, but until I learn who she's working for, I can't exactly discuss it with them. Can I?
He gave a light shrug and another of those knowing smirks.
Enjoy your evening, brother.
With that, he turned his back and left the office. Chelsea nearly knifed? Even the insulting maneuver Graham made by turning his back on him during a confrontation didn't register as that information exploded in his head. Chasing down rumors of hidden breeds and council misfits? Were her cousins fucking insane to allow such a thing, especially after what had happened weeks before? If his breed genetics weren't still comatose, he'd show all of them the error of their ways. But they were comatose, Cullen reminded himself, fingers curling, aching with the need to hit something, that burning, hollow rage still beating a fierce tattoo through his brain. A recessed little snot. Wasn't that what Graham had called him?
The bastard.
And he was right. His breed genetics had become recessed when he was no more than 10 and hadn't reemerged. There were the odd moments of scent sensitivity, intuition, and advanced strength, especially when he was angered. For the most part, he was no more breed than any human walking down the street. That didn't mean he couldn't show the members of the breed underground network the risks in placing Chelsea in a position of danger. Jerking his keys from his desk, he left the underground offices, enduring the elevator ride to the parking garage, all the while his teeth grinding so tight his jaw ached. No wonder he hadn't heard anything about Chelsea in the past weeks. No fucking wonder no one dared give him the chance to ask about her. They knew he'd probably throw a punch at the messenger. Not that he'd done that in a damned long time. Unlike some breeds, his brother, namely, he'd learned control in the past decade. At least, until it came to Chelsea. Chapter 3. From Graham's Journal, The Recessed Primal Breed. At its base, the male, whether human, animal, or breed, has a core nature equal to that of a sullen child denied a favored treat. And the male can react accordingly. The last thing Chelsea wanted to do was have dinner with Graham Parker and his fiancée, her cousin Claire, or Cat, as she was now called. Especially after her employer, Cassie Sinclair, texted with the night's job. The other woman had sent another list of locations for pictures, along with the best possible times to be in place. What Cassie was searching for, Chelsea didn't have a clue. She had to admit, though, the job was far more interesting than working as her father's legal receptionist. She'd been bored to tears when she'd taken that particular job at 16. She simply couldn't imagine taking it again. Cassie's offer of a job had been just what she needed, especially in light of the fact that the other woman wanted to keep it completely secret that Chelsea was working for her, It was really going to look good on her resume once the job was over. "Dinner with Cullen's brother, or work," she muttered, staring at the addresses and lists of times on her e-pad. She knew why Gran had invited her to dinner. He was still trying to convince her to take the job as Kat's personal assistant. That was a job guaranteed to get her killed. Gram and Kat weren't exactly homebodies. They lived dangerous lives, especially Gram, if rumors were to be believed. And those particular rumors, Chelsea guessed, didn't even come close to how dangerous Gram actually was. Still, not showing up for dinner would no doubt have him finding her and questioning why. The man was so damned nosy it amazed her. The fact that he seemed to be taking some kind of interest in her after she left the covert law enforcement agency worried her. Gram wasn't known for his concern for anyone but Chelsea's cousin, Kat. How Claire had ended up with that nickname, Chelsea hadn't figured out yet. Padding naked from the shower to the attached walk-in closet, she considered not just what to wear, but also what to do. Dinner at Graham's would require at least a dress, while heading out to the clubs and various underground bars on the reservation required an entirely different sort of attire. Jeans and boots worked. There were plenty of underground clubs, but they were often dangerous, raided, and not always easy to get into. Still, Cassie had managed to list several of the more popular and harder-to-access locations. Those establishments were frequented by a high number of breeds, despite the club's illegal status. Having breed members made them harder to raid as well. The enforcers always seemed to have advance warning of any raid being made, unless Cullen's agency made the raids. And it was rare that Cullen could be convinced to do so. Cullen. God, she missed him. Missed working with him, arguing with him, and sometimes he even laughed with her. Not that he laughed much after his wife's death a decade ago. He'd retreated from everyone then, closing himself off and concentrating on his rise up the ranks of the covert law enforcement agency instead. Would he be at Graham's? She wondered. He usually showed up at his brother's dinner parties. Several times they'd actually ridden in together whenever Chelsea had been invited as well. Graham's attempts to befriend her since his relationship with Kat never failed to confound her, but she was certain he had the best chef in the world. The question remained, though. Dinner where Cullen would no doubt be in attendance, or another night staking out illegal bars and photographing breeds and whoever they were with. Decisions, decisions. Seeing Cullen would definitely hurt after all this time. For some reason, she'd expected him to make more of an effort to call or at least check on her after the night he'd pulled her out of the Cervez compound. And he hadn't kissed her before she left either. She had hoped that maybe he would. Amid the crashing adrenaline and fight to stay in control of the resulting devastation of tears and emotions returning with a rush, she'd hoped he'd kiss her. Her lips tingled with the need. Her neck ached where his teeth had scraped the skin the morning she resigned from the agency. Sleeping was impossible some nights if she dared let herself think of it, and most nights she dared. She'd lie awake, reliving it, torturing herself with a need that she knew he wasn't about to slake for her. Asshole. Going to dinner at Graham's and risking having to actually socialize with Cullen was more than she could deal with. Pulling dark pants and a t-shirt from the closet, Chelsea stomped to her bedroom and threw them on the bed, mutinously. She might as well work. At least then, she might actually become too immersed in finding breeds to think about Cullen. That, or she'd be attacked again. She pushed that memory back. She wasn't going to let it spook her. The coyote her wolf breed enforcers had taken down was a verified genetics council soldier, not part of the breed society. He was one of the monsters the Council had first envisioned. Merciless killers that followed their creator's orders. Nothing more. He must have somehow caught her snapping those pictures of him from her truck and taken offense. Or worried he'd be identified. There couldn't possibly be another explanation. Pulling on lacy black panties, she frowned at the uneasiness she could feel at the rationalization. No matter how many times she tried to be logical about it, the possible reason for the attack didn't sit well with her. And she might tell herself she wasn't going to let it spook her, but Chelsea knew she was spooked. Not simply because she could have died. She should never have been attacked to begin with. Dressing quickly, she fought back the hint of nerves that came with thinking about it, concentrating on the job instead. She was familiar with the list of locations Cassie had sent. A few of them she could actually get into on her own. For the others, she might need to get her handy-dandy wolf-breed shadows to get her entrance. She pulled on her boots and was just picking up the small pack she kept her equipment and other necessities in when the sound of the doorbell had a grimace twisting her lips. Hopefully it wasn't her sister, Isabel, making a quick little visit to make certain Chelsea was attending Graham's dinner. Isabel and her husband Malachi were often invited to the dinner parties Graham hosted, and Isabel would guilt the hell out of her if she learned Chelsea wasn't going. Family dynamics. Good grief. Gripping the doorknob, she gave a quick turn of the lock and swung the door open, not bothering to check to see who her visitor was first. She should have checked. Her breath caught. Something hot and achy tightened in her chest, and for just a split second, her heart seemed to pause before it jump-started and began racing in her chest. Colin. It seemed like it had been forever since she'd seen him. Since his green eyes had sparked with that hint of warmth while staring back at her, and his far too somber expression made her ache to bring a smile to it.
Hello, Chelsea.
He greeted her, his voice low.
Can I come in for a minute?
Dressed in dark slacks and a long-sleeved white shirt, the sleeves of which were rolled back, he looked far too handsome in a rough, rugged sort of way. Those breed genetics he possessed might be recessed, but the unique handsomeness breed males possessed was in full force. From his amber-flecked green eyes to the longish, once black, now dark blonde hair streaked with darker brown hues, to the tall, muscular form of his body, he was the very essence of a woman's most sexual dream. And like all the other women who lusted after his arrogant ass, she couldn't help but want to pull him straight into her bed and just have her way with him. Why? The question popped out of her mouth before she could stop it. Those devilish lips quirked into a hint of an amused grin as he scratched at the closely cropped beard he was now sporting. When had he decided to wear a beard?
Because I wanted to see how you were doing, he quipped, the dark timbre of his voice sending a thrill of sensation racing down her spine. See if you were still mad at me.
Mad at him? She was still furious with him. But she stepped back and waved him in, despite the feeling that she should have just closed the door in his face. She knew Cullen. He didn't just make friendly visits to anyone's house. He always had a reason. An agenda. I still think you're an ass, she informed him, turning for the kitchen. But I have time for a cup of coffee before I have to leave. Work, she reminded herself. She had a job to do, and doing it didn't include entertaining her former boss or lusting over him for the evening.
You're going to Graham's dressed in jeans?
There was a hint of surprise in his voice. I'm not going to Graham's. She kept her back to him as she spoke and busied herself with the coffee maker. Looking at him just made her feel way too conflicted. Not to mention too damned aroused. Thank God he didn't have the normal senses a breed possessed. like that pesky sense of smell that alerted them whenever a woman was aroused by them. That was just wrong as far as she was concerned. On so many levels.
So, what's more important tonight than making certain my brother doesn't involve himself in your life?
He asked, the mockery not in the least subtle.
Missing one of his dinner parties is guaranteed to make him suspicious, you know?
Finishing the coffee, she picked up both cups, turned and moved to the table. Her gaze lifted to his as he stood in the doorway, his shoulder resting against the frame as he crossed his arms over his chest. Placing his cup on the table, Chelsea stepped back, leaned against the counter, and sipped at the hot brew, all the while holding his gaze. Graham had no reason to involve himself in her life. Missing a dinner party wasn't exactly a crime.
I'm certain Graham and I both will survive me missing one of my cousin's little get-togethers, she assured him.
Cullen's lips quirked knowingly. It wasn't a smile. It wasn't a grimace. It was a look of certainty and pure confidence.
You don't know my brother very well, Chelsea.
The chastisement in his voice was more than a little mocking.
He seems to be fond of you, and after catching wind of that coyote attack the other night, he's concerned.
His voice lowered, hardened as his expression turned downright dangerous.
You could say, I'm a bit concerned myself.
Chelsea placed her cup of coffee on the counter, more as an excuse to break his gaze and gather her thoughts than to keep from throwing the cup at him.
Concerned? Are you?
She scoffed, turning back to him.
I haven't seen or heard from you in weeks, and now you're supposedly so concerned for me?
Her brows lifted in disbelief at the very thought of it.
Sorry, Cullen. Not buying it. And I don't have time to stand here discussing it with you.
Maybe if he'd shown a little interest in the past weeks, then he might have been able to fool her. If he had been the one to tell her Louisa hadn't survived, if he'd at least been there to share her sorrow. His eyes narrowed on her, dark, green, glittering between heavy, gold-tipped, dark brown lashes. She didn't like that look either. It was one she'd only seen rarely, and then only during interrogations of some low-life suspect as she watched from behind a two-way mirror. Until now, he had never turned that look on her, though. It was a bit unsettling.
What are you up to, Chelsea?
He questioned her softly, the tension in the room rising by the second.
And who are you working for? I'd have thought that night in the desert would have caused you to at least show some caution for a little while.
Chelsea lifted her brow, disgust surging inside her as anger threatened to get the better of her.
You need a ladder to climb out of my business?
She tried for sarcasm, but even she heard the hurt in her voice.
What I'm doing, and whoever I may be doing it for, doesn't concern you in the least. I resigned from the agency. Remember?
There was a predatory grace in the way he straightened from the doorframe. His head lifted, his expression tightening, until for a moment it would have been easy to believe that those breed genetics he possessed were anything but recessed.
And you think resigning from the agency meant I'd stand aside and let you get yourself killed?
His lips peeled back in a snarl, prominent canines flashing dangerously.
Chelsea, sweetheart, you should know better after that night in the desert.
Gentle, caressing, warning. That tone of voice made her ache with arousal even as she tensed at the dark undertone and the fact that he was moving closer.
And I should have known better.
Why? She asked, gripping the counter as she watched him warily. I haven't heard from you once since I returned that baby to her mother. She swallowed tightly, the memory of the child a torment she couldn't seem to escape.
Because I spent the past 4 years doing everything I could to protect you? To make certain you were trained before throwing you into the field?
His jaw clenched as he bit out the words angrily.
And now you're pushing your way into it as though it's a Sunday picnic?
Her brow lifted, despite the fact that he was less than 6 inches from her and glaring down at her while his eyes flickered with amber fire within the green. Hell, she'd never seen the color in someone's eyes flicker like that. She'd definitely never seen his eyes do it. And if he was pissed now, God help her if he learned exactly what she was doing and who she was working for now.
You have no idea what I'm doing, Cullen. And if I considered it any of your business, I would have contacted you myself and explained it all to you, she informed him, narrowing her eyes back at him as she gave a dismissive wave of her hand.
And you don't get to butt into my life now just because you decided you want to.
I don't work for you any longer.
Does that cancel out friendship?
He asked, tilting his head to the side, a decidedly calculating gleam entering his eyes. He was trying to manipulate her. She knew Cullen when he was like this. He'd used just such tactics almost every time she'd lobbied for fieldwork.
Friendship implies at least a small amount of respect. Something you don't have for me. So let's not pretend you do.
She didn't like games. Especially not the type that kept her in that carefully constructed box her family, as well as Cullen, seemed determined to keep her within.
Confusion raced through the anger and protectiveness Cullen couldn't seem to push back. Where do you get the idea that I have no respect for you, Chelsea?
Bracing his hands on the counter on each side of her, he stared into her eyes, wondering if he could become lost in the dark depths of liquid emotion there. Not that he could often decipher the shadows of deeper emotion hiding beneath whatever she showed the world at any given time. He had often tried, though.
Are you serious?
Her hands lifted, pushing against his chest, then remaining when he refused to move.
Really, Chelsea,
he assured her.
What would make you think such a thing?
It was inconceivable to him that she would believe something so ridiculous. They'd spent 4 years working together. She'd been closer to him than anyone else, even his closest friend, and she believed he felt no respect for her? The laugh that left her lips was filled with hurt and anger. He hadn't just made her angry. He'd hurt her. Something he hadn't meant to do. Something he hadn't wanted to do.
I trained for 4 years for the field.
She pushed at his chest again.
4 years, and you wouldn't even let me be a part of tech support. What is that if not a lack of respect for me and the training I busted my ass to learn?
You weren't ready.
And as far as you're concerned, I'll never be ready.
The cry broke from her as she pushed at his chest again, the sudden, wild scent of her slamming into his senses, taking him unaware. Enough so that he pulled back, giving her the opportunity to push past him. She would have escaped. Hell, he should let her escape, and he knew it. Instead, before the impulse was even thought, he caught her arm, pulling her back and trapping her against his chest. That scent. It was like a summer rainfall in the Virginia mountains. Pure and clean and sweet. So sweet and fraught with a hidden kiss of heat that he found himself nearly dizzy. The scent of her wrapped around his head and sank inside him until he swore he could taste her against his tongue.
What are you doing?
The whispered gasp barely registered as a myriad of scents twisted through him.
Damn it, Cullen! You can't just kiss me whenever I piss you off!
Whenever she pissed him off?
Darling, I don't just kiss you whenever I'm pissed off with you,
he assured her.
If I did, I'd have been kissing you every day for the past 4 years, because I think you live to piss me off.
And then he did kiss her. As he covered her surprised lips, his tongue pushed past them, and he sank into the sweetest living taste a man could ever know. She didn't taste of another male, another's kiss or passion. Her lips parted in surprise, her tongue stroking over his even as he slipped it past. Cool and sweet, a summer rain over desert heat, and he loved it. Ached for more of it. This woman and her taste had kept him awake night after night for the past month. The memory of her, of this need, was one he couldn't push away, couldn't forget, no matter how hard he tried. She could become addictive. One hand tightened on her hip, at first in protest. The sound of a subtle feminine moan pierced whatever reason might have risen to the surface at the moment. That sweet murmur of pleasure swept away any thought of letting her go, any thought of releasing the sweet taste of her. Cupping the side of her neck with his free hand to hold her in place, he deepened the kiss, his lips slanting over hers, a rough groan tearing from him as her arms wrapped around his neck, her fingers spearing into his hair, blunt little nails scraping against his scalp. Pleasure coursed through him like a drug. Her tongue stroked over his, rubbed against it, fought for supremacy of the kiss, and the resulting pleasure sent a wave of heat rushing through his body. His cock was so damned hard it was nearly agony. The need to release it from his jeans, to strip her bare and take her right there in her kitchen, rode him hard. His hand slid from her neck to the hem of her t-shirt. Gripping the material, he pulled it up with a desperation he couldn't remember ever feeling. Lust burned through his system, wiping away caution, finesse, and reason, pushing him to take her, to mark her. As he slid his lips from hers, her protesting cry barely registered before he had his lips at her neck, tasting her, licking against the satiny flesh before his teeth raked against it. She bucked in his arms, lifted closer, her head tilting to the side to allow him access to the sensitive skin as he bit and licked at it demandingly, needing every nuance of taste, every cry of pleasure she released. And he wanted nothing more, needed nothing more than to taste more of her, to pull more of those heated little cries from her lips and strengthen the scent of her arousal. As his lips reached the bend of her neck where it met her shoulder, his hand found the curve of her breast, the warmth of her flesh, the pebble hardness of her nipple barely covered by the thin lace of her bra. That fragile barrier was more than he could bear, though. He wanted to feel her skin to skin. He wanted the swollen bud of her nipple between his fingers, his lips. The thought of the taste of her nipple against his tongue had his hands sliding back to her hips, gripping, lifting her to the counter and pushing between her thighs as he pulled the cup of her bra beneath her breasts. The lace frame was damned pretty, but he wasn't about to waste time admiring the sight of it, not when he needed the taste of her with a hunger he found himself powerless against. The need for her was killing him. All of her. He wanted to taste every inch of her. No, he needed to taste every inch of her. Colin!
Whether protest or a cry of pleasure, he wasn't certain, and he wasn't asking, as his lips covered the taut, cherry-flushed tip and drew it firmly against his tongue. Chelsea couldn't hold back the sharp cry or the sensation that rushed through her senses with a strength she couldn't fight against. She told herself she could hold some part of her response back, that she could return to reality whenever she wanted to. And she was fooling herself. She had been fooling herself all along. Each stroke of his tongue against hers was so hot, so good,
The feel of his lips and teeth against her neck burned through her flesh, straight to her nerve endings, where explosions of incredible pleasure detonated with devastating results. But when he lifted her to the counter, pushed between her thighs, and his lips surrounded her nipple, any molecule of common sense or reality she might have possessed disintegrated.
"Colin!"
She couldn't hold back the cry as his tongue licked over her nipple, sending fingers of sensation racing straight to her womb. Lips, teeth, tongue, he devoured the nerve-laden point until she was shaking with need. Between her thighs, the engorged length of his cock pressed against her sex, their clothing a hated barrier between them as he rubbed against her, inciting the needy heat seizing her vagina. Panting for breath, locked in an inferno of arousal she had no intention of resisting, Chelsea could only hold on to him and pray she survived it. Because there was no escaping it. She didn't want to escape him. She wanted nothing more than the feel of his touch, his kiss over every part of her body. Each deep draw of his mouth on her nipple sent heat rushing through her system. His tongue stroked over it each time he sucked at her and rubbed over nerve endings linked to her womb. When he moved to her other nipple, the fingers of one hand captured the tip he'd abandoned, keeping it on the edge of ecstasy as his lips surrounded the other and drew it into the heat of his mouth. Each draw of his mouth, each tug of his fingers, sent waves of sensation coursing through her, arrowing between her thighs, heating her vagina, and striking at the swollen bud of her clit. Rolling his hips between her thighs, Cullen stroked the agonized knot of nerves with each press of his engorged cock, amplifying each pulse of pleasure tearing through her.
"Oh, God. Yes,"
she whispered, her voice strangled as his teeth grazed over her nipple before delivering a quick little nip and sucking it into his mouth once again. His tongue stroked and rubbed over it. It was incredible. So good. So hot, she could barely stand the heat. She could barely stand it. But she wanted more. Her breasts were swollen, the mounds tight and aching. Each suckling caress, each stroke of his tongue against her nipples only increased the need for more. The roughened touch of his tongue against it sent shudders tearing through her, flames racing over her nerve endings.
"Don't stop,"
she whispered, as his head lifted, the blinding pleasure still suffusing her even as her body demanded more.
"Stop? I have no intentions of stop."
His head jerked up, nostrils flaring. Before Chelsea could process what was happening, her shirt was jerked over her breasts, and Cullen had turned, a furious snarl sounding from his chest as he braced himself in front of her. In the doorway, two wolf breeds watched them curiously as they leaned against the doorframe, their faces hard, gazes locked on Cullen.
"You told us to be here on time, Chelsea,"
the taller of the two reminded her as he crossed his arms over his black t-shirt, his gray eyes mocking.
"Did you forget?"
Forget? Her brain was mush. But she could feel the tension in the room. It radiated from Cullen in waves. And no matter how Draeger and Tobias appeared to be, they were anything but relaxed. Chelsea cleared her throat nervously, slid from the counter, and wondered if she'd ever lose the shakiness in her legs. She could still feel the arousal, the need racing through her. The impulse to order the two wolf breeds from the house and drag Cullen to her bed was almost impossible to resist. Almost.
"I have to go."
Her voice sounded far too weak, too desperate as she moved to go around Cullen.
"Go where?"
Reaching out, his fingers gripped her arm, pulling her to a stop as the hoarse growl in his voice had her staring up at him in surprise. The tone was rough, grating, animalistic, a sound she'd never heard in all the years she'd known him. It was the question that jerked her fully back to reality, though. The possessive demand tore through her, reminding her of everything she was fighting to escape. Jerking her arm from his grip, Chelsea flicked him a glare. Hurt pride and the fear of surrendering forced her to step farther away from him and away from the pleasure and the need she'd felt for this man for far too long.
"It's time you leave, Colin."
She forced the words past her lips, forced herself to put more distance between them.
"The hell I will."
The amber in his green eyes seemed to burn.
"What are you up to with these two, Chelsea?"
What was she up to? She didn't dare tell him. She shrugged, fighting to ignore the nervousness, the needs clashing inside her.
"Lock up when you leave, then,"
she told him, heading for the door.
"I have things to do, and explaining my actions to you isn't one of those things.
At least not today. Later, she had no doubt. Hurrying from the house to her truck, she could feel her hands shaking, her stomach roiling with the need to go back into the house, to go back to a man who couldn't love her and damned sure didn't know how to work with her. His heart had died with his wife, he'd once claimed. He had nothing left to give another woman but whatever lust he felt for her. And as much as she wanted the lust, it was the heart she'd always dreamed of.
Chapter 4. From Graham's journal, The Recessed Primal Breed. Once awakened, primal breed genetics can and will play havoc upon a breed's mental, emotional, and psychological balance. The animal, for a while, may act independently of the human he resides within, in essence taking control of the human psyche without the breed realizing exactly what he's lost control to. At this point, a breed is at his most dangerous, especially if the animal genetics have awakened for mating heat. What the hell was she up to? Colin stood at the bar of yet another underground club, his eyes narrowed, tension raging through him as he watched Chelsea from where she stood talking to several coyote breed females on the other side of the room. It wasn't just those females around her, though. At least a half dozen coyote breed males, the female's security detail, stood, arms crossed, expressions interested, as they listened to Chelsea talk. If he wasn't mistaken, every damned one of them had checked out her ass. And those rounded curves looked real damned good in the snug jeans she wore. So good that it was hard to keep his eyes off her himself. Still, watching those coyotes check her out made him want to plant his fist in their faces. They had no business staring at her ass, not when he knew for a fact that the smell of his touch, his lust, covered her like an invisible cloak. Now, that thought brought an edge of smug satisfaction. He knew the animals he was dealing with, and there was a silent code among most breeds. No breed would touch her as long as his scent lay on her like that. The animal inside them wouldn't allow it, even if Chelsea invited it. Not that she had invited any man or breed to touch her. He had no doubt that if his scent hadn't covered her, many would be offering, though. Just as those at the other clubs she'd visited. This particular club was located beneath a warehouse outside Gallup, New Mexico. Each illegal club she'd chosen was in the same area, within 10 to 20 miles of one another. Though this was the only club she'd been to that was located underground. The cavernous room throbbed with the sound of the latest dance music and an abundance of alcohol. Humans and breeds alike filled the dance floor and congregated in small groups. Chelsea seemed to have made her rounds of all those groups and then some. The three coyote females she now stood with had shadowed her, seemingly without her knowing it. Ashley, Emma, and Sharon were regulars at many of the underground bars. Like most breeds, they never became drunk, but enjoyed the music, dancing, and socializing. Cullen had followed her through three different highly illegal establishments over the course of the night. She stayed an hour or so at each one, nursing a single drink as she moved through them, and if he wasn't mistaken, she chatted with every damned breed she could find, with the exception of him. She didn't talk to any one breed or human.